Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time I get to this text, this time of year, in this with this gospel text, it's always a bit jarring. It's one of those gospel texts when you say, you know, please stand for the Holy Gospel. And then Jesus directly starts saying, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. And he says, but you don't understand what I say. Why is that? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word, for you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. It just puts, you know, a nice warm feeling in the bottom of your heart, doesn't it, to have Jesus tell you, you are not of God, your father, you are of your father, the devil, right? Why is he doing this? Is this something that we really should cringe at? Is this something that we should really bristle at? Is this something that we should take offense at? Or is this something that we should just say, all right, Jesus said it, so there must be something to it. If I don't understand it, maybe I should figure out why that is, as opposed to getting upset that Jesus is saying that I'm a son of Satan. Sounds like a biker gang. No, but really, you look at this, and the world may look at this, or even maybe weaker Christians or something like that, those who are new to Christianity may say, wow, Jesus is definitely not very nice here. He's not being a very pleasant person. And that is to say, that's a good thing, right? So often we have this picture of Jesus as meek and mild, which he was meek, don't get me wrong. He was humble, right? He is God himself made flesh. How much more humble can you get? But he did not mince his words, especially for those who needed to hear certain things. It's not that we should be without wisdom in going to people who don't know Christ and saying, you know, if they come to you and say, I just have all these problems, things are going wrong in my life, I can't stop doing bad things and things like that. It's not that we shouldn't have discretion and just immediately say, well, you know why that is. It's because you're a son of the devil, right? That's totally, well, that's, it may be called for depending on what they need to hear, depending on how well you know them, but it's typically not what needs to be said at that moment. But it is something we have to understand, that Jesus tells us what we need to hear, not always what we want to hear, right? It's this one thing where we live in a world where we have Christianity is starting to wane. It's starting to decrease in popularity. The church that we can see, at least, is shrinking. But it's amazing. The church actually never shrinks. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger because God never loses those who belong to him, right? And even though Christians die, they go on to heaven, and they are still the church, triumphant, right? We just added one more soul to the kingdom of God. The church is always growing. And yet we look out in the world and we say, what does it look like it's shrinking? And some people might say, well, it's because of things like this that Jesus is saying. He's just too harsh. We need to be a little more softer with how we go after people. But the thing is that if that's the case, think about it this way. If that's the case and we need a little bit softer language, why is the perfect man, Jesus Christ, saying these things? He's not sinning in saying these things. And his evangelism seems to be failing, right? It seems to be failing. And yet, because of this, because of his words recorded here, we can be strengthened and we might be able to be given the strength to go out and be able to tell people in whatever way they need to hear it that they are sinners, that they have fallen short, right? That apart from God, they do belong to Satan. And we don't want that for them. In this world, we have a lot of different things pulling our attention, and that includes different spiritual matters. And like I said, with Jesus and saying these things, he's saying what we need to hear and not what we necessarily want to hear. A lot of people, they have a lot of options on what they want to hear, what they want to see, what they want to do, and that includes what they want to believe about God. There was a, I listen to a lot of podcasts, a podcast I used to listen to a lot of, I don't really anymore, they had this kind of, it was a really long program about apologetics and things like that. And in the middle of segments, they had these little breaks. And in a break, they would sometimes play a little something that sounded like radio theater, right? Which is really cool, because it was also teaching people about the faith. And it was a radio theater segment where a person goes into a store, and it's like a Build-A-Bear store. You've ever been to a Build-A-Bear store? I don't know if anybody goes to malls anymore. They used to have them everywhere. But the Build-A-Bear is where you go in and you build a teddy bear, right? You fill it with whatever kind of cotton or stuffing or whatever you want, and they put a little heart in it, and they personalize it just for you, right? A teddy bear. I don't have one. My wife went to one when she was a kid. She still has, I think it's a stuffed dog, actually. It's not really a bear, but still. You can go and get whatever you want. And the segment of this radio theater was, instead of a Build-A-Bear workshop, it was a Build-A-God workshop. And this woman goes in and she's greeted. It's like, hi, welcome to Build-A-God. What can we do for you today? How can we craft your God for you special today for you? And she goes, oh, well, great. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this. And she's like, I don't know where to begin. So the clerk asks her, well, we like to ask just a few questions to get an idea of what you would like. And they say, would your God be judgmental? Oh, no, my God would not be judgmental. My God would be accepting of everybody, no matter what, no matter what they did. And even if they just kept on doing it, he would just still accept them no matter what. Great. Okay. And she's like typing into her keypad, you know, oh, this is great. This is great. And she's like, would your God ever tell you to do something you didn't want to do? No, I don't think so, because my God is love. And he loves me so much that he would just let me do whatever I want, right? And then just go on down the list of questions and different things. You kind of see where I'm going here, right? She's crafting a God for whatever she wants, right? It's whatever she wants. She doesn't want to be told that she is a bad person. She doesn't want to be told she's a sinner. She doesn't need to be told, or she doesn't want to be told that she needs saving or that she should stop doing certain things she shouldn't be doing. And then they get to the end of all these questions, and then she goes, perfect. Your God is coming along just perfectly. Now, last question. What do you want your God to be named? And she says, I think I want my God to be named Jesus. Let that sink in for a second. She wants all these things that she wants and still wants to tack the name of Jesus onto that, right? How many times do we do that? How many times do others do that? How many times do you see Christian churches, so-called Christian churches out there, that fly the rainbow flag and accept all kinds of ungodliness without ever calling anybody to repentance? They just say, this is how God made you, and we're going to celebrate that. And they put Jesus' name onto that ungodliness. So I say that because that gets us in a state of saying, well, yeah, that's horrible. That's terrible. That's not what we should do. We as Christians should stand for something. We as Christians should speak out and do what needs to be done, or at least say what we should say, because really all we have as Christians is our words, right? All we have is the word of God to speak. And so we should speak. And yet, before we speak, we can't just simply say, rah, 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 get them, Jesus, get those sinners, right? Kind of like what we read here, that when we read John chapter 8, verses 42 through 59, where Jesus is saying, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires, we shouldn't necessarily begin with reading that as him speaking to somebody else. We should begin that with hearing him say that to us apart from him, right? And remember, though, immediately, if you are baptized, if you believe, right? If you believe that Jesus Christ has saved you, you've been washed clean of your sin in holy baptism, like Mary Ella can do now, you can say, that was me. So was I once one of those. But now I'm not. Now I am a baptized child of God. Now I believe. And that is a pure gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a pure gift that he has given to me so that I can look and I can say, how many others out there are still children of Satan? How many others out there are lost? And what can I do about it? Not that it all depends on me, but what can I do about it so that at least someone hears what they need to hear? Even if it will make them upset, it might actually be the thing that leads them to saying, why am I so upset? Right? Why am I so upset? Maybe I should go and figure out and maybe even begin praying about why it is that I'm upset about what God really has to say about me apart from him. Right? So I say that to mean that we had a baptism today. We are baptized. You know, and if you're not baptized, come talk to me. We can do this all over again. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see someone come into God's fold. It's a beautiful thing to see one more soul claimed and ripped out of the hands of Satan, which is really weird, right? It's really strange to stand there while I'm holding my infant daughter and saying, we pray that this would wash away the sin that you have been granted from Adam and all sins which you have committed since you were born. And you look at her and you go, what have you done? What have you done, right? You're just a little baby. Yeah, you pooped, but is that a sin? I don't know. I think that's part of the sinful world. I mean, maybe she's been a little disobedient, right? Not taking the binky when she needs to. But hey, sin has corrupted us, right? We should not trust what our eyes necessarily see. We should trust what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that apart from him, apart from Christ, apart from the washing of rebirth in baptism, apart from faith, we are lost. Even little baby Mary Ella. She was lost. And it made us nervous until we got here. I think that's part of the reason why I was so nervous. It's like, I cannot mess this up, right? But God has made it so simple. He's made it so simple and so clear that he has done everything for us. He brings us to himself. He calls us with his word. He sanctifies us. Well, he justifies us with the blood of Christ. And then he calls, gathers, and gives us the light of faith by the Holy Spirit so that we would know that when we read things like John 8, we say, so was I a child of God. So was I a child of Satan. Now I am a child of God. Excuse me. That I now battle against the lies. I now hear the lies and say, that's not for me, right? But now as a baptized child of God, I go forward and say, you know, sometimes it seems like Jesus is the God that I don't really want because it still makes me feel bad. The sinful flesh still clings to us. Our sinful nature still clings to us and we wrestle with it every day. But that's the point of baptism. We remember every day that we have been baptized, that we have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, that we have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We remember day in and day out that we do not belong to Satan. We belong to Christ. We belong to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, right? We hold true to that identity as disciples of Christ. We hold true and cherish and hold fast to his word because Jesus says, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. That word for keep means to cherish, to hold on to. To hold on to his word is to hold on to him. He is the word made flesh. And the word that is added to the water cleanses you of all your sin. The name that is placed on you in holy baptism calls you a child of God and tells you that though you struggle with sin, though you struggle with the lies that Satan still throws at you, because he does, though you struggle with all these things, Jesus is your perfect sacrifice for sin. He has taken your place and he has died where you should die. And in fact, if you were baptized, you have died. You are dead to sin and you are made alive to God. And now, as living, breathing children of God, we are called to be living sacrifices. That we sacrifice the sinful flesh, the sinful wants, and the sinful desires for what we need and for what Christ grants freely according to his wonderful grace. And may this grant you the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.